You're listening to Vatican Radio. At the end of the general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis met with members of the United Bible Societies and the Catholic Biblical Federation, who've been holding their first joint assembly here in Rome. Leaders of both organisations have been meeting under the guidance of Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia, who is both president of the Catholic Biblical Federation and head of the Pontifical Council for the Family, as well as reviewing initiatives spearheaded by both groups to promote Bible study in different corners of the globe. Participants also looked ahead to the recently announced Synod of Bishops on the Family, scheduled for October 2014. A highlight of the meeting was the moment when members of the two organisations presented Pope Francis with copies of the different Bibles they've produced over recent years. As I found out when I spoke to the General Secretary of the United Bible Societies, Michael Perrault, and to Thomas Osborne, Acting General Secretary of the Catholic Biblical Federation.
It was just a privilege opportunity for us to just meet Pope Francis and to help greet him and also to present to him the Bibles that are dear to us, particularly the Bible on poverty and May Day Be One, which was also part of today's reading. But our time together here to meet with the CBF is really centered on the Bible and families, which we consider to be central. And Pope Francis also announced yesterday something of the Synod next October. So I think that was fortuitous that we were here just working with our brothers and sisters on this very issue of making Bibles available to the family.
How much is the family a focus of the work of the United Bible Societies?
Central, because families constitute communities, constitute churches, constitute individuals. So the family has become a central place for the Bible. We have a number of Bibles that we are at the moment working in different countries, for instance in Brazil, where we're using, of course, the Lexis Natus, but also through that, reaching out to families. When I was looking at today's ceremony of all those brides and bridegrooms, it reminded me that, in fact, they formed the beginning of families. And if I had an opportunity, I would have loved to have given them each a Bible to say, start your family. Here's the central piece of God's mandate for them.
You mentioned, of course, the Synod coming up in October 2014. Yes. How much do you hope that the work that you do together with the Catholic Federation can play into the preparation for the Synod?
It was a real encouragement today, just very briefly talking to the Pope and him giving that endorsement of saying, go ahead. So for me, that was a real encouragement just to say that perhaps the work that we do today is the beginning of something that we could then give to the Synod in terms of the work that is to be accomplished. And I think great things have been achieved. This is our first meeting of CBF and us together. So I believe there's much hope in terms of doing things that might be a gift to that particular Synod.
You say it's a first meeting, and yet yes. You've worked quite closely together, haven't you,
yes.
Over the years, I believe, since the Federation, the Catholic Federation,
yes.
was founded.
Mm.
Tell us a bit about your cooperation and how important this is for the ecumenical movement.
Whilst we have signed a joint statement together since 2008, but when we look back at the history of both the organisations and the work that we've done work that go back 44 years. So whilst there are statements to embody it, the work really goes back much further than that. We've been working with our Catholic brothers and sisters for a significant amount of time, often in places where there might have been no Bibles and in places where the Bible has been limited in terms of its access to people. So, for instance, the May Day Be One is a good example that has been going on for some time, starting in the Philippines, and then now reaching out to South Africa. And that's a real witness to joint work that we do. And for me, today was a particular poignant moment to be reading from John, the Gospel of John, and for the Pope to be referring to that, and for us to be in a position to say that is at our very heart of the work that we do with our brothers and sisters, particularly all around the globe. So for me, the work that has been done goes back a long time. And here it's about perhaps acknowledging that there is good work already taking place, but how can we do more because of the centrality of what the Pope is placing for the Bible and family.
Do you see this as particularly relevant to the local level, or is it important now to consolidate at leadership level, as you're doing here in Rome?
I think both are needed. Often the grassroots need that endorsement from leaders. My hope is that leaders like the Nicaea Synod will give that sort of affirmation. But we should not also wait for perhaps those affirmations come. I think the encouragement should also come from the grassroots. So my hope is that at the Synod we can demonstrate that there is already work taking place, but it could go further, it could go deeper if they were to embrace it and also give that particular affirmation.
Catholic Biblical Federation was founded in 1969 in the direct continuation of the Constitution on Divine Revelation, De Verbum. Chapter 6 of that Constitution challenged us to think about very actively the presence of the Bible in the life and mission of the Church. That's something that's for Catholics, for the Catholic Church, was a new accent in the strength that it was stated at that time, because traditionally Catholics had been more reticent to have direct access to the Scriptures. But with De Verbum, the Catholic Church gave us an impulse to move on in that direction. Actually, it was a very interesting sort of reception of some Bible movements in Germany and in other parts of the world that was recognized by the Church Fathers at that time, by the bishops during the Council, and received an official sort of approval and encouragement to get on in that direction. In the meantime, the Catholic Biblical Federation today is composed of some 97, 98 full members. Those are organizations designated by the National Bishops' Conferences to assume that responsibility of spreading the good news in the form of introducing, helping people to not only to possess a Bible, but to open the Bible, to read it, and to begin to dialogue with it. So about 100 full members, and then we have some 220 associate members. Those are other Catholic organizations that are involved in one way or another in supporting or in actively taking part in the biblical pastoral ministry, as we have called it.
It sounds quite successful from the figures that you're quoting to me. How much, though, do you think has this idea permeated down to parish, to family level? How much is this now seen as a central part of Catholic life?
Well, you have just put your finger on a very important challenge for the Catholic Biblical Federation and for our common work with the United Bible Societies. When we look at percentages of the world population, even the Catholic population, who are actively reading the Scriptures and attempting to do something with the Scripture message in their lives, then we must realize very humbly that we still have a lot of work to do. We were encouraged once again in that direction when Pope Benedict, in the follow-up of the Bishop's Synod in 2008 on the Holy Scripture and the life and mission of the Church, published his apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini. It's interesting. You translate the text out of the book of Isaiah about the Word of God, it's De Verbum, and then when that text out of Isaiah is cited in the first epistle of Peter, then it's Verbum Domini. So Pope Benedict did some sort of a literary inclusion in that dynamic between the text of the Old Testament and the text of the New Testament in that regard. So with that apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, Pope Benedict has given us a sort of a roadmap of explicitating all of the different areas where we should make the Scriptures present in the life of the Church, not only as one department among many other departments in the pastoral life of the Church, but as the inspiration, the breath that breathes the presence of God and the presence of the Spirit into the pastoral life of the Church.
Are you hoping, therefore, that this focus on biblical work, biblical study, will be taken up in the forthcoming synod looking at the family?
Well, we intervened to make sure that it was taken up in the preceding synod on new evangelization, because we are convinced that reading the Scriptures is not only an essential part of evangelization or of new evangelization, but it's the beginning part, in fact. If we look at the development of the Scriptures themselves, then we note that the Gospels are, in fact, ways of evangelizing people, of allowing people, by hearing narratives, to identify with that narrative and to climb in to the narrative, to make it a part of themselves, to find their place within the narrative. So we at the Catholic Biblical Federation presented a rather significant message, which we contributed to the Bishop's Synod on New Evangelization. And that has had some repercussions in the propositions that have come out of that Bishop's Synod, particularly proposition number 11, concerning the fundamental, absolutely necessary place of reading the Bible in the process of evangelization and a new evangelization. So that was a little idea about our activities with regard to the former synod. And now we heard that the next synod will be consecrated to life in the family, pastoral of the family, next October 2014. Doesn't give us much time. But in fact, that's one of the things that we have discovered now at this common meeting with the United Bible Societies and the Catholic Biblical Federation. We have published already a number of Catholic Bibles for families. So there's one initiative that was prepared in the United States, the Catholic Faith and Family Bible by the Center of Ministry Development, which has been taken over, translated, and adapted into Spanish by Verbo Divino in Madrid. And so that's going to be an entrance point to Latin America. There are other family Bibles that are in the process of being developed, which are already in existence, so that we are now attempting to think about what, in fact, does that mean, a Catholic family Bible? For which families? We noticed, that's come up very often in our discussions these past few days, that the families today are extremely diverse. And we have to listen to the families as they exist, taking into account their concrete economic, social, cultural situations, families that are still together, family that have been recomposed on a basis of a number of issues. So those are the families that we have to not only preach to, but first of all, listen to. It's a big challenge, but it is the most central part of the message of Jesus Christ, because he did not stay in a temple or in a synagogue, but he went out where people lived and worked and prayed and made families and had children and died and buried in the place where life took place. And that's where we have to be present as well. That's where the scriptures have to be present.
My thanks there to Thomas Osborne, Acting General Secretary of the Catholic Biblical Federation, and earlier you heard Michael Perrault, General Secretary of the United Bible Societies.